thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Thank you, Lord, that as we open ourselves up to you, Lord, that your word minister life to us and give us, Lord, strength, the ability to overcome whatever situation we are in. We just praise and thank you for what you have done for us and the way you are transforming and changing our lives. And so today we just come to your word in expectation, Lord, to see it bring into pass the things you send it for. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we have been really looking at sonship. The time we are in. The season that we are in at this, in these last days, definitely there are great changes taking place. Changes that we have to understand and that we have to respond to. The revelation, the understanding about what God wants to do with our lives and how he's going to do it is critical for us to be able to receive the things that God has done. When we open up to the truth and we put it to work in our lives, then we get set free. Then we get the ability and the power to manifest what the Word of God says we should manifest in our lives. The idea is that unless we really understand and believe what the Word says, then unless that happens, the Word remains powerless in us. Our belief and our understanding are critical. If we don't know that God wants to save us and set us free from our sins, we are going to continue to live in sin. We are going to continue to be weak and not to be able to stand against the temptations and the attacks of the enemy. If we don't know that Jesus came and died for us, not just for our physical, spiritual well-being, but also for our physical well-being, that the atonement or redemption, whatever you want to call it, includes physical healing besides spiritual healing, then we are not going to be able to experience that truth, that reality. The word says in Isaiah 53 that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. If we don't believe that, then the only thing that can happen is that the natural forces of our body that are there are operating, and you know, with maybe with the help of medicine can help us, but some cases medicine cannot do it. But the Word of God goes beyond that. The Word of God promises for us to be able to receive even him. When? From a physical point of view or from a medical point of view, there is no answer. God can do anything. All things are possible for them to believe. That's what Jesus said. When we start realizing that, you know, first we have to hear it. First you have to realize that there is that possibility. But that's not enough. You have to put your trust in him and you have to believe what he said. For there is least the power that is in the world. Word. The word in itself has the power to fulfill the things that it was spoken for. So we have to really be able to connect with that reality. In our spirit, not just in our mind, in our hearts. And our hearts have to receive that truth to be able to see it manifested in our lives. And it's something that happens not according to our decision or our will, but according to the word itself, that is power in itself to fulfill the things the promises. You know, in 2 Corinthians says very clearly that the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That means that amen means so be it. So it's something that we can expect, something that we can believe, something that we can experience. And we have so many cases here that are practically every week we can see that taking place. You can just go to our website. You can see all the different testimonies. And I just mentioned some there. I cannot report all of them. So the idea is simple. The God can want to do a work in us that is not just a mental work. It's not just an emotional thing. It goes beyond all these things because God is a spirit. And as a spirit, it operates through our spirit. And as our spirit receives from the Spirit of God, it can manifest both in our mind and in our body. Changes determined by His promises and by His power. Now, you know, there are so many promises in the scriptures that practically satisfy any need that we can have. But it's for us to know them and to believe them and to appropriate them. And the appropriating is just as important as any of the other things. Okay. But what God wants to do with us is to develop and transform us and change us so that we become more and more like Jesus. Okay? That transformation takes place in a way that involves our participation in the process. It's just not automatic. We had to appropriate that reality, that transformation, by looking at the Word of God, looking at God's promises, and saying, yes, this is mine. I believe it, and I receive it. As we do that, slowly, the changes happen within us, and they become evident and manifested in our life. One of the most important things, though, to remember is the fact that, to develop into that position of sonship. I mean, when we are born again, we become children of God. Children of God is just the beginning. Children of God is a reflection of the fact that it's like a child that is born. A child that is born cannot do all the things that he can do when he's grown up. We have to grow up. And to grow up into the sonship that God wants us to have, there are changes, there is understanding, there is growth, there is participation, and there is obedience. And the things that we've been reaching to is the obedience component. Okay? The obedience to mature a son, and to come into the inheritance that Jesus prepared for us. We need to be obedient to His direction and His words. It's not something that we do out of compulsion. It's something that we do out of transformation. We are transformed by His word. The word has the power to change us. When we assimilate it, when we receive it, when we meditate on it, when we allow the Word to take over our thinking processes. We can think like the world, and we can think like God thinks. The only way to learn to think the way God thinks is to go to the Word and see what He thinks according to the things that He has written there through Revelation. So, You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting in holiness in the fear of God. You know, the perfecting is, you know, is an accomplished process that it takes time, that is developed, that is a progression that we develop into that. But if we are born again, if we are believers, our heart and our desire is to do that, because we have seen the love of God working in us, changing us. And so the promises of God become the grounding concepts and the grounding ideas by which we operate, think, and want. Our desires are determined by that. You know, one of the greatest promises, among all the other things, are secondary, if you want, is given in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, just the chapter before, in verse 18, and says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This is more than just an empty promise. Means that when we come to that place in which we know him and he knows us, what happens is that this establishes a relationship, a close relationship between us and him. And that relationship, what it does is enable us to relate to him the way we relate to our Father, but even better than that. Because he's a better Father than any Father we can have. He's a loving Father, he's a good Father, and he wants all good things for us, only good things. There is no darkness in him. There is no evil in him. He wants our good. And our good that he wants for us is the best good that we can ever imagine. If we just realize that, you know, lots of people are afraid of God. They see God like somebody that is there ready to squash them the very moment when they make a mistake. And this is the farthest things from God that you can never think. He's just the opposite of that. You know, Jesus said, you know, if your father being evil will give you a snake if you ask for a fish, you know, a stone if you ask for bread, how much more will your Father in heaven do for you that is good by nature? Hallelujah. And this is why, you know, when we come, and this is why it has to start someplace. The way it starts with being born again. Being born again is the time when we accept and recognize that he is our Father, our Lord, and Jesus died for us so that we may be, our sins may be forgiven, and that all the things, all the consequences, all the benefits that he received for us. He did not need them for himself. He died not for himself, but for our sins. He took our sickness and our disease on his own body so that we may not have to carry them. As we realize that and believe that, then this truth can start to work in us and change us. Change the way we see everything around us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, you know, but there are steps. There are requirements, if you want, for us to experience that. Everything that we receive from God, we don't receive by our works and our abilities. We receive it by faith. Our sins are forgiven because we believe what that Jesus died for us. When we are healed by faith, We are healed because we believe what Jesus did included also our healing. Now, the only way to come to that conclusion is simply to read the Bible. You read the Bible and you see very clearly what it says about all these things. We are not asked to believe things that are not clear. We just have to learn to read. If you can read, that's all you need. The point is you have to read according to what is written there, not according to what people has interpreted it. Just take what it says and try to receive it, understand it, believe it, so that it can work in you. That's all. We don't need to create any new idea or thinking. We simply need to stick to the Word. Stay there. Believe what it says. And when we do that, we find out that actually the Word works. All the time. The problem with us is the fact that often we have problem believing. Just like Thomas, when they told him that Jesus was resurrected. And he said, well, unless I put my hand and I put my finger and put my hand on the side, I can't believe. Well, when Jesus met him later on, he said very clearly, put your hand on me and see. He says, blessed are those who have believed yet they have not seen. So the idea is simple. When we believe, all things are possible. There is no difficulty that we encounter in life that we cannot overcome. But it's based on our faith. It's based on our belief. It's based, today lots of people don't believe much. I mean, ministers don't believe in the resurrection. Well, Jesus, Paul very clearly said that if you don't believe in the resurrection, your faith is vain. And you are still in your sins. I didn't say that. You can read, that's the thing. Everything that, makes a difference is already being written. Now, some people don't believe in the Bible. So what if they start from that point? Well, don't waste your time going to church or call yourself a Christian, because it's not. You're not. The only things that make us Christian is to believe what the Bible says. And the Bible is very consistent. No matter what the liberals say, or liberal theologians. See, the liberal theologians never get the miracle. Liberal theologians don't have the power to save anybody. Cannot change lives. It's in the foolishness of the gospel that lives are changed, the bodies are healed, and the people are changed and transformed and empowered to overcome anything. And today, it's interesting that this type of manifestation are more common than they never have been in history of Christianity. This is another interesting point that shows us the season we are in. See, today, first of all, there is better understanding about things in the Bible that have been ever in the past. In one side. In the other side, there is more confusion and more wrong teachings on it, too. But this is exactly what was promised and what was prophesied about. In the last days, we are going to see a separation of the two sections, the part that is in darkness and the part that is in light. And this is happening. And this is why we see today, the number of actual people that move in the power of God today is greater than any time in the history of Christianity. You can see books, historical books of the history of the church, and you can see, and this is, I think, probably one of the most interesting things that you can study. You can see how the church actually wandered through the centuries to come to the time we are in today. This is one of the most exciting times for the church, because finally we are getting close to the manifestations of the children of God, as it says in Romans chapter 8. This is where the things are going to become evident. And what Jesus said in John chapter 14, that the works that I do, you shall do also even greater work than this, is actually happening today. And has never been happening before in the church. You know, there were miracles, there were healing, there were things that happened before to a degree. But today is a commonplace. And the interesting thing is, it's not connected to a specific denomination, a specific group, a specific great preacher. Just people like you and me can do these things, because this is what Jesus said it could happen. Now, this is why this difference? Why is this change? Well, there is a time for everything. I think that as darkness becomes stronger in the world, so does light. As we see things that are deviating from the truth more and more, accepted by everybody, so are things that are the truth, and so people are affected by the truth. And you can see it happening today. The indication is Jesus is coming. And he's not going to be very long. It cannot be too long. Has to happen. He said he would. Now, you know, people don't believe. They have the right not to believe. It's their problem. The point is, for those who believe, they can benefit from all the things that he did for us. And we can benefit from it. As we become more obedient and more understanding, realizing what he has done for us. You know, one of the things that takes place in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not in the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, this is so important. And it's not a question for us to make an effort in this direction. It's not a question of us working these things ourselves. It's when something happened to us spiritually and we are born again, our heart is changed. And it's our desire to actually reflect and follow this direction, and it's natural for us to do it. We are not perfect. We are, you know, still a construction work. But yet, our desire and our intent is to move in that direction and to grow that way, so that we can manifest that in our lives. And as we go to the Word and we receive the Word, that desire grows in us. It changes us. It makes us more and more the way we should be. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, you know, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, to the things of the Spirit. So you see, the thing is, at the very moment when our heart is directed on the spiritual dimension toward God, we set our mind also in the things of God. We set our desires and our will in that direction. And so, automatically, because our desire pulls us in that direction, not only our desire, but also our actions and our works are going to be moving in that. Not because we are trying to be something, but because we are something. You know, the process takes place. I often say there are three steps. You know, first you know, then you start doing it, and then you be, you are. You become different. And it's the natural thing to be different when your spirit, the Spirit of God, is inside you because you are born again. So, when we realize that, you see, when we want that in our heart, okay, what happens, what says in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, becomes true. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. You see, there is a natural law, evidently. It is the law, it is called the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You see, as we accepted Jesus as our Savior, and we accept this fact that He died for us, a spiritual law takes place in our heart that makes us free from the law of sin and death. It's the natural result of being born again, as is the natural result for a child to breathe when he's born. Because it's a law that if you are alive, you are going to breathe. Praise the Lord. And so what we have to do as a result of that, what we actually do naturally, is that we desire to be allowing this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to be powerful and manifested in us. It's not legalism. It's not trying to do the right thing. It's the natural power of God working in us, empowering us to do and to be the people that God wants us to be. Are you following me? See? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, says, you know, and now, little children, abide in him. You see, abiding in him means, you know, that you're dwelling in him. How do you dwell in him? By just saying, Jesus, Jesus? Absolutely not. You see, He was the Word made flesh. So you abide in Him by abiding in His Word. By abiding in, or by dwelling, by allowing the Word of God to work inside you. Abide in Him. And when He appears, we have confidence in not being ashamed before Him at His coming. You see, this is the thing that is actually taking place. That as we abide in the Word of God, and the Word of God is changing and transforming us, we end up actually doing the things that God wants us to do, that directs us to do, because it's the natural thing for us to do. But because we do that, our conscience, and we are at peace inside, and we are ready to go in the presence of God without any fear, without any problem. And that is a good place to be. This is a place of peace, the peace that Jesus said to give us. You know, my peace I give to you, not the peace of the world. It's not the external peace. It's the peace that is inside us. A peace that gives us strength, a peace that gives us confidence, a peace that enables us to face anything that comes our way. Abiding in Him means really abiding in His Word. The Word of God is powerful and effective. It can change us. It can empower us. It can separate things. It can separate the truth from the false. It can break things apart so that we can see clearly what is darkness and what is light. The world today is so confused It doesn't know what's darkness or light anymore. Because everything goes. Well, the results are evident. The world is not getting much better in some way. But in some other way, for those who really follow God, it is getting better. There are better results. There is more power. There is more anointing. There is more peace. There is more victory in the life of the people that follow the Father, principle and values of God. See, but it's all based on the love of God. Coming in contact with the love of God. When I was an atheist, and when I was changed, it was just because I realized God's love. God's love changed me. Realizing how much and how deep and how wonderful is the love of the Father, and how He implemented, how everything planned for us so that we can be blessed. Just that, and that was a revelation that I got. I didn't deserve it, but that changed everything. In that moment, my life was changed completely. My direction, my desires, my things, everything changed. And it was my desire to actually, at that very moment, I even said it. You know, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. That what makes the difference. See, because when you got free from the other pulls and direction and desires, then it becomes easy to do the right thing. That doesn't mean I did all the way the right thing. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you want to do that. And when you realize you made the mistakes, you don't stay there. God is not there to destroy you the very little mistakes you made. He's there to enable you, correct you, empower you, strengthen you. That's His grace. We don't deserve what He has done for us. But He has done for us more than we can ever think or imagine. It's His love that did it. And we just, the only thing we have to do is to receive it, is to accept it. And then there is no way not to respond to that love. There is no way. Okay. So, First John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children or sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." See, this is the joy that is set before us. That is the hope that we have. And that hope motivates us to follow Him, to follow His direction, to follow His instruction, to follow what Jesus said. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, that was actually the joy that was set before Jesus too, because He went through what He went through, because He knew the result that He was going to produce in us. And because of that, He was willing to go through what He went through, because He knew the impact that He would have on us later on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. You know, one of the errors today that in Christianity is, probably some of you know, is the so-called hyper-grace believes. I mean, the idea is that we don't deserve it, but Jesus did everything. We can, doesn't matter what we do today, it's fine. God doesn't care. You know, His grace is sufficient for everything to cover up. That's complete deception. It's completely unscriptural. See, what we do counts. If we, whatever, so the law of sowing and reaping applies today as applied all the time. What you do produces results. If you do wrong, there are consequences of doing wrong. If you jump off the roof, don't need to explain that. But that's true both physically and spiritually. Because spiritual law parallel the physical laws. It's the same God that organized them and put them all together. God is a God of order, works everything according to the law that He established. Now, when we are transformed, we follow naturally the laws that God has made. But that doesn't mean, you know, God's grace does not mean that we can do whatever we want to do and God does look on the other side. That is nonsense. You know, Jesus paid with His own life so that we can be set free. But set free doesn't mean that, set free means that we don't need to do these things. That we can walk in righteousness. That we can go walk under the blessings of God. That we don't need to follow into the same mistakes that we did before. And when we fall, we realize that we fall and He corrects us by His Holy Spirit and empowers us to overcome, no matter what. But it's not that we can do whatever we want to do. This is what the world thinks. And that's fortunately, that's penetrated also into the church, you know. You know, in the 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, says, "Beloved, now are the children of God." I mean, now are. We are ready if you are born again. "And it has not yet been revealed what shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." You know, if we shall be like Him, that means, you know, that we are not going to do the things that He wouldn't do. Amen? Praise the Lord. So these are the things that we have to come to realize. Okay? And it goes on, you know, this in 1 John chapter 3, all explains these ideas and completely demolish this false doctrine. Okay? It says, "For whoever commits sin also commit lawlessness." And that means, you know, breaks the law. And the law is still valid. Now, you know, commit sin. Okay, let me continue here. Okay. Because sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. In Him there is no sin. So, you know, all the promise of God are yea and amen in Him, in Christ Jesus. That means, you know, that you have to be in Christ Jesus for them to be true for you. You know, for you to be forgiven, for you to be healed, for you to be all these things, unless you are in Christ Jesus, you are fooling yourself. And fooling, you know, being in Christ Jesus means that you are the Word of God is alive in you the way it was in Him. Guiding you, directing you, empowering you, and showing you the truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I think that it's just about time to go and celebrate. I wanted just to finish with that sentence that I just said before. He was manifested to take away our sins. Realizing that means that he took away our sins. If our sins are gone, they're gone. We don't need any longer to go and feel guilty, because they are taken care of. If we believe what he has done, they are gone. Not only that, but he's also said that by stripes we were healed. So if we believe that that what he has done applies also to our physical body, we are going to see that manifested in our physical body. Amen? So we have to, see, what I'm saying to you today is the importance, how important it is for us to line up ourselves with the Word of God, to believe it, to receive it, and to put it to work, not just in the area that is convenient for us, but in all the areas. There is no word that does not apply to our life. When we realize that and we start doing that, when we start to see the power of God manifested in us in a way that's beyond anything that we can ever imagine. See, Christianity is not just a meeting or a building that we go to on Sunday. Christianity is a relationship with the living God, working in us in supernatural ways and manifesting his power in behalf of his people. The way he did it in the Bible, actually, even more today. God does not change. God does not change. The Word says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Praise the Lord. We know that we are blessed. We know that we are protected. We know that God takes care of all our needs. That because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together to receive, that we can come together to your word, that your word is never far away, is as far as your breath, that we can go and, Lord, receive from you all the things that you promise, that your promises, Lord, are the way we grow in freedom, that we grow in you, that we are transformed by your power. As we believe them, we receive them, we appropriate them, and they become a reality in our lives. Lord, who the Son set free, is free indeed. And Lord, we become freer all the time because your word is effective and working inside our life. In Jesus' name. Amen? Praise the Lord. So please, you can wait a few minutes.